Well, I often say something like this: Memorial Day is a time for remembering. We remember those who have died, and it also helps to open the eyes and hearts of those who remain, like us, for gratefulness, for thankfulness, whatever. We remember those who have died so that we can remember how we are to live. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to tie it all together, including communion, and say the bottom line is this, that we commit to always remember Jesus. In a little while, they're going to sing a song from one of my best friends I never met. Does anybody know who that is? Andre Crouch. A long time ago, I fell in love with a song on one of the main title track, but off, it was a song about communion that I've adapted that is so beautiful. Always remember Jesus. We're going to sing that together. So remembering is a spiritual discipline, whether you know it or not. Now, at our home, we like old shows, you know, like Hogan's. I won't start there because I won't remember. Does anybody remember Andy Griffith? Dick Van Dyke and Hogan's Heroes. And Hogan's Heroes, hilarious. My favorite character there is Sergeant Schultz. He's that lovable Sergeant Schultz. And we know he always said, what was his big line? I know nothing. But something else he said, it was tucked away in some episodes. He said, I forgot to remember. I can still see him saying, I forgot to remember. That is so true. We forget to remember, and that becomes a major spiritual problem for us. So while we can choose to remember, I'm not sure at all that we can choose to forget. We hear it thrown around all the time, forgive and forget. How many of you know it's not that easy? It's not that easy. Forgetfulness, we can't choose that. In fact, when I was in studies and we studied the doctrine of God and all of his attributes, they didn't teach it, but I've come up with another one. I think that God is all forgetful. Is anybody glad about that? I mean, God can forget on command. When we confess and repent of our sins and turn from him, how do you know that your sins are gone forever? Are you glad that God's a forgetful God? I mean, intentional. Nothing slips his mind but us. We tend to forget things we should remember, and we remember things we should forget. It's a fact. We often forget to remember. So it's a call to that today, to that end. And we're going to use communion for that end as well. I've determined this, that forgetting can be very, very dangerous. And it often has serious, serious consequences. And this is especially true of all things spiritual, relational. How we desperately need to have our lives and our homes God-saturated, God-rated, God-approved. I'm speaking about matters of faith in God and our relationship with him. Let's call these God-first priorities, God-first priorities. So let's remember the most important things so that we'll never forget. And I just want to give you three E words today to help you remember. I want to talk about it. It's explained. But what we mean by that, and then it's embraced, and then the third one is that we engage in it. That's a different process, it really is. So let's talk about that. Let me just explain where I'm coming from with some scripture, and I'm going to be rooting around in Deuteronomy 6. I just love that passage, and we're going to close with the blessing song today that we've all heard Carrie Jobe sing in Elevation and other places, but it's so good about remembering so we'll never forget. So we're living in a culture that is somewhat R-rated or X-rated or beyond. We know that. And that's what happens when God is strategically or systematically removed from nearly every area of public and private life. Would you agree? And it reminds me of the Old Testament scriptures when I read. I love God's word and read all the time. Old Testament. And a common thing when they got beyond their judges or prophets or kings, it says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And look what we end up with when that happens. It's dangerous. It's harmful. And that all happens because we forget God. That's where Deuteronomy 6, they were being implored. Never forget, never forget, never forget. Because the eyewitnesses, the ones that experienced the power and the might of God, they died off and they weren't going to remember. And it was so important in future generations to remember. When I'm doing memorials, I often tell the story of the little girl in Sunday school who paraphrased Psalm 23 this way. She got up and thought she could quote the whole thing, but she said it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And then she sat down. Do you know that's good theology? That is great theology. She had it right when it's applied to life. I'm not into theology unless it's applied theology. Are you with me? It's got to get in the fabric and the DNA of my life. And as I read that again, Psalm 23, as I often do, I'm reminded that this is a lordship passage. Did you know that? The Lord is my shepherd. That's a powerful declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. He's all I want. He's all that I need. It's like saying this, if you will. When God is first in my life and my home, he's my shepherd. That means he's in all and overall. He's enough. This launches us on a new plane, a new trajectory that'll determine where we land. It'll be a trajectory of spiritual growth. When we say yes to growth, to tag on to what Pastor Andrew taught last week, yes to growth. That's not a one-time decision. You come to Christ and you continue to live that yes, and that leads to growth. So let's look at God's word. And let's start in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 6. So emphasizing these words, and then we get to another passage. I want us to read it out loud together. Here we are. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord, your God, as long as you live. If you obey all these decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Verse 3, listen closely, Israel. Put your name in there and mine, your family. Listen closely and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you. You will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. This passage and others in God's word do not trump our free will. The greatest love gift he has given you is freedom of choice. He wants you to choose. It's love-driven. It's not law. It's love-driven. And that carries over the passage we'll read. Jesus loved to quote it in the New Testament. God does not forget his promises. Remember, his terms are always in covenantal language. He initiates, he originates, but then it's like this. If you will, then I will. If we will, then he will. It's true. There are always conditions. There are always requirements. It requires our cooperation and participation. What does Exodus 20, verse 3, the first of the commands say? I love it from the message. A paraphrase, so simple. This is lordship. No other gods, only me. Can you understand that? No other gods, no matter how you spell it, no matter how you define it, no other gods, only me. That's the first, and it's stated again in the passages, and I said Jesus quoted it. I won't read a New Testament, but let's go now to verse 4 and through 6, and it'll appear on the screen, I believe. And let's all read it out loud together, okay? And don't just read monotone. Put some emphasis in it, okay? Here we go. Together, out loud, out online, I want to hear you, okay? Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you here today. That's not worn out. Completely, with our whole heart, all in, all out, that's exactly what God is asking of us. And then it goes on to say, all of these verses are just full of God's promises. But he warns us of this in 11b of chapter 6. He said, when you've eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. And you go, well, that's not applicable because we're not Israelis and all that. I'm going to tell you it is, because if you're in Christ, he has rescued you from bondage, has he not? Never forget, it goes on. You must fear the Lord your God, serve him. When you take an oath, you must use only his name. You must not worship any of the gods of your neighboring nations. For the Lord your God who lives among you is a jealous God. And that's not like jealous because he's jealous of. No, he's jealous for us. We sing about that. It's that protective, that involvement in our life. That's what it is. And then we finish up. It says, you must diligently obey the commands of the Lord your God, all the laws and decrees he has given you. So in that passage, he won't share his glory and hearts with people or another that jealous over us. He brought his people, including us, out of captivity and slavery. He gave blessings not that could never be earned or deserved. They were to love God, and we are to love God, heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were to obey all that he had spoken, and they're never to forget that God loved them with a jealous love. His love is fierce and stubborn. This was to be their philosophy of life and ours. God first. God first. It was that way, but is it that way now? God first in our public and our private lives. There is to be no separation No compartmentalization. I'm still a youth pastor at heart. I did it for 16 years, and I just love kids and children. And there are times, and just like recently, where in conversation comes up where there's some kids that identify with our church and youth group, and it's known of them that they're not the same person at school by the things they say and the way they act as they are at church or at home. And that always grieves my heart. It did as a youth pastor. I mean, I just think because I know that's where the problem is. Kids say, oh, pastor, it's just so hard. No, it's really not that hard if you just make a decision to sell out to Jesus and the same person shows up every time. Are you with me? Some of you remember recently where we laid Larissa to rest in a very painful death of a wonderful, wonderful lady. But the thing that so touched me that I think is applicable here is because Larissa was honored because she was not a compartmentalized person. Do you remember? Her boss from Western Reserve, the attorney that she served for as a paralegal, he gave a testimony from 20 years of faithfulness in front of him. That's what she lived out. I read from the family. They put it all together about her faithfulness in the home and before the kids and grand. And then I reflected even her involvement here. And the reason her life has such an impact is because she was the same person everywhere. It's kind of quiet in here, but are you here in my heart? We may fool the church, we may fool our parents, but I'm going to tell you, the watching world, we can never fool them. They know who the person is that shows up. We just got to say yes and keep saying yes and sell out to Jesus. Just, that's so important. I wish I ought to go over to the youth room and share that. We have teens in here, but the majority over there today. So God first brings order and alignment to our lives. Some people look at that in a legalistic way, like a good luck charm or a rabbit's foot or something. No, it's just when we put God first, even the return of God's tithe, it's setting ourselves, it gives us a foundation we can build our lives on. It doesn't make us frivolous. It calls us to be better stewards, better caretakers of all the gifts and all the things that God has poured into our lives. God first. I think about it. Our kids, Tommy and Hillary, are building a new home, and we love to go out there because I just love to see progress. And you know, it just started with a bunch of trees and all the removal and all of that and grinding stumps, getting stumps out of there. But when building a new home, we've observed this. It's not very glamorous and it doesn't have much curb appeal, but the foundation and the support beams of the infrastructure are of utmost importance. Would you agree? Has anybody built a house before? That's where they start. You can't build the curb appeal things first. These may not be glamorous, but you can't have a safe and secure home without them. And obviously, you see where I'm going. It's the same with our life. There must be more than adequate load-bearing foundational things that don't move with support beams and walls. These are to remain in place for the life of the home, immovable, and so it must be in our lives. Never forget. Always remember so you'll never forget most important things. You can move it, but I'm going to tell you, when the wind and waves come, it'll blow down. It'll blow down. Immovable. So that's an explanation of where I'm coming from. And let's two E words yet. Let's look at the word embrace priorities. And I guess I'm grasping off with our mind, always remembering by truly embracing God first priorities. He does promise certain blessings, but hear me. Write this down on the flyleaf of your mind. God's withness demands his firstness. You hear me? God's withness, we talk about that a lot at Christmas time. It depends on his firstness in our lives. We've got to embrace, we've got to live those priorities. I'm not suggesting for a moment, even as we read those passages of promise, we'll read some more here, that we'll never experience the challenge and problems. That's what makes our faith real, that we keep standing. We're not different people when the storms hit. We're the same people and we still point and praise. That has a powerful witness and impact on those watching our lives. Stuff happens for sure because our world is so tainted by sin. And many times we suffer not only from our own stuff, but from the sin of others in their lives. And there's a war. There's spiritual battles that are real. And if you're following him and sold out, you're a target. But truth still wins. Thus the next series we're going to start next Sunday. Truth wins. Truth wins. But we still have the promises and the blessings of Almighty God. These principles are clear in this passage that I've read. He promises that he'll always be with us, guiding us, helping us, providing strength we need for the challenges we face. Let me just read about four verses quickly, and maybe I've read some of those already, but I want to read them again. Verse 18, do what is right and good in the Lord's sight. Did you hear me? It doesn't say in your friend at school or somebody at work or your boss, do what's good and right all the time in the Lord's sight, so all will go well with you. That doesn't mean you won't be persecuted for it, but your soul will be well. Then you will enter and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. That's back to that faith first that leads to action. Verse 24. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. Any testimonies of God's faithfulness and goodness in your life? Are you remembering those? Are you talking about those? Are you declaring those? That caution again in 6b that I read earlier. When you've eaten your fill or when you're satisfied, be careful not to forget the Lord your God who rescued you, who brought you from death to life. And so it goes. All right. So grasping that with an open heart and mind, yes, I'm going to embrace it. This is the way I want to live. But then that takes us to the next D, which is this, okay? It is engaging these priorities in our daily lives. That's the difference maker. We'll always remember by living out God first priorities. God first, living out our faith with consistency all the time. Not circumstantially driven. We've got to keep God first. We always remember our priorities, so we'll never, never, never forget. Never forget to remember. I some people say, well, Pastor, you're in your 60s now. You don't remember what it's like to be a kid in high school. But, you know, with the Lord's help, I didn't have that big a problem because God was with me in the locker room and all that, and I didn't leave him behind. I didn't shove him in the locker. I tried to be the same person. That didn't mean I was perfect, but I was the same person wherever I was. Does anybody believe that God can empower us to be the same person at work, wherever, in the home, the same person all the time? Not circumstantially driven, because I realized that wherever I was, and I realized as a kid that if I say I'm a child of God, I'm reflecting on him. I'm reflecting on him, and I want to do that to the best of my ability. We must remember. I love history as many of you do, and it seems unbelievable, but I read and there are groups now that are teaching that they're trying to revise history and say that, for example, the Holocaust didn't really happen. There weren't 6 million or whatever. I mean, it's not true. I mean, they have the museums to prove it with the remains of all kinds of hoarded things that happened. They claim it never happened as reported. All the while, many survivors still are there with the tattoos to prove that they were interned in a prison camp. Wow. I'm telling you, there's danger when we forget the past. That's why we started about remembering those who have given their lives for us, and that carries over and much greater in a spiritual sense. But I just want to say with authority today that there is still truth, and the truth still is what really happened. And I want to tell you, you can trust multiple eyewitnesses of the same event, thus the Bible, thus the resurrection. It wasn't just two or three. They saw him before, they saw him after he was raised. Multiple eyewitnesses are there to testify to truth. And if we're not careful, though, they'll revive and say, I wasn't there, didn't see it, so it must not have happened. Yeah. Truth is still what really happened. You got it? Yeah. Truth still stands. All right, here's how we engage. Here's how we engage. Let's go to verse 7. Here's what we need to do. In our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, repeat them again and again to your children, the stories, the truths of God, the commands of the Lord. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Verse 8, tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates. And some of these would be applicable in that culture and time, but I want to tell you, it's still true. We can carry those things forward, and it's still true in our lives. Doesn't that about cover it? Doesn't that about cover it? All times, all season. What I'm saying is that our children and our friends, our neighbors, have to see the reality of God firstness in the fabric, in the activity, the attitude of our everyday lives. May that be our prayer. We got to be intentional or we'll forget. So it says, repeat it, talk it, tie it, wear it, write it. Whatever, you can do those things, and we could give practical ways, but for the sake of time, we won't. All action steps that show and shout, not that we've just embraced something with our head, but our hearts engaged it as well, and that we have not only embraced it, but we're engaged in it. We're engaged. It's a way of life. We're living it, and our steps in our lives will shout. They'll show our faith with blinding display and a deafening roar that sometimes doesn't even need words. The fruit of our lips and lives must align. It's kind of like this when it comes to our witness. I like fireworks, and of course we don't typically have fireworks on Memorial Day, except in our neighborhood they have it for all occasions. I think we're in a war sometimes with all the things that go off. But I love it, particularly, don't you? July 4th at the end, the whole, what's it called, the grand finale, when all of these things go like all over, and you just see these bright flashes, boom, 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 and then there's a deafening roar. You know what I'm talking about? And that's what our lives are to be like. It's not the loud roar first. It's the blinding flash of light that points to Him. Always remember so that you'll never, ever forget. Action steps, the fruit of our lips and lives. And that involves reverse gear, backing up, saying I'm sorry, apologizing to our spouses, our kids, when we don't represent Jesus well. But I've found this over the years. I've been doing this 40-some years in some capacity, and I've found that it's difficult to resurrect what the environment and influence of the home puts to death. God's able, but I want to tell you, we put our family so far ahead when we'll determine we're going to build our lives on the rock of God's firstness. All right, let me give you some action steps, and I'm going to include communion in this. So again, if you haven't gotten any elements, please just get up right now. It won't bother anybody, and get those, and make sure you have it open and ready. So let's go back to verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and you get up. Does that sound intentional to you? Doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You're going to have to engage, will you? If we're to pass along the faith, the baton of faith to the next generation, and we're going to sing about that at the end, then faithfulness is required. God's faithful. He's not the issue. He's faithful. He's there. Will you be? Matters of faith. Yes, it's taught, but I got to tell you, I caught a whole lot. I know we have to come to a point of decision, but some of us, like Nate, you remember when he shared a few weeks ago, he said, it's like I didn't have a chance but to fall in love with Jesus, and he did, but he was saying, because of all the influence, all the light going on around me, I could hardly help but fall in love with Jesus. That's the atmosphere all the time. I think about it, and you know, if you've ever been involved in relay races where it's a baton passing, and not just at an amateur level, I mean, when they first usher in relays for kids and there's a baton, I mean, most of them are dropped. But even you've seen people that practice for years in Olympics and they lose a race, the runners are fast, but they mess up the handoff. Have you seen that? And they're devastated. We've got to pass on that because we're involved in this relay of life, so to speak, that is so valuable and so important. So I'm going to give you some action steps here, first of all, and we're going to do it. I want us to do it together. Have you ever thought that the simple act of participation in communion is a way of remembering and proclaiming Jesus until He comes again? Did you know that? That's what we do. And I think, by the way, when we're in public services, we have ordained elders and pastors, licensed ministers, give the elements and do that, but it's totally appropriate for that to be a part of your worship in home. That I'm totally for that. So that's the first action step, and we want to do that today. So here's the scriptural admonition. It says in 1 Corinthians 11:26, it says, "For whenever, every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Why do you do that? So you never forget. What good is it to go to the cross if you live like you've never been there? If you forget that that's what it took, that that's the place where you could offload your sins. When I think of communion, it brings back really tender memories. I remember watching my daddy, pastor, father for 43 years, man of few words, quiet, not emotional, given to emotion. But I watched him lead communion and pray, and it was always a special day because I knew that when I came in, there was always the table down the front of the communion table. Does anybody remember? It said, "Do this in remembrance of me," or "This do in remembrance of me," and there were always communion elements right there in the center of the table, the center of the room, to remind us that Jesus is the center of it all. And then there was always a white linen. And my dad would come off of the platform, and he'd stand between the pulpit and the communion table, and he would administer the sacraments to the stewards, and they would take it and pass it out to the crowd. And I can still remember the husky voice. My dad had a notoriously husky voice and very unique. And as he stood there, I remember looking up to him because I was always wherever I wanted to sit as long as it was in the first or second row at church. I could see my dad from where I was. And I remember looking up to him thinking to myself, especially when he's praying, he really means this. I mean, he is talking to somebody that he loves more than anything else in this world. And I knew that he loved me, and I knew that he loved my sister and brothers, and I knew that he was crazy in love with my mother. It was a memorable time. I can see it in my mind's eyes as I close my eyes. I'm not sure he had any realization, understanding of the impression that he was making on his young son, who didn't have any clue at that time that he'd be a pastor. But he was making it. But it's not just when he stood there. It's because his life was real at home. That's why he had credibility when he stood between the communion table and the pulpit. Are you hearing my heart? He was the real deal. Not a perfect man. But I knew he loved Jesus. Sold out. So I want to do that. I can remember some of his words and phrases, but I want to lead us in that. So I want you to take the communion elements, if you would, and have those in hand. And we've asked Keith to sing a really special song to me. Did a great job first service. And we want you, when he sings in a little bit, to join in. When it becomes familiar, it's a very simple tune. But I want you to have these elements ready, if you would. I already read the scripture, and I'm not going to take time to read it all. But let's go right to the bread. Would you get the bread out, the little wafer, and hold that in your hand right here? And holding it there for a moment. This represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you and for me. May it preserve you blameless unto the everlasting life. Let's take now together and eat. Let's do this in remembrance that Christ died for you and me, and may we never forget. Take and eat. And the cup is passed. I'm not sure who said it. I had a couple different people responsible for the quote, but somebody said that the world drinks to forget, but we drink to remember. Always remember. And so the cup, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Let's drink together. Giving thanks with a grateful heart. Giving thanks with a grateful heart. While we do that, could you just be real silent, and as Keith sings and teaches us a little song, a chorus, let's just think about his great love. Be grateful. And you know what? If you've never said yes to him, open your heart. Do it right now. Do it at home, wherever you may be. If you've gotten in the deep weeds and you've drifted, come back to him. Come back to him. Give him yourself. Saying, God, palms up. Here I am. Would you sing it? Teach it to us as we reflect in these moments of remembering Jesus.
Always remember.
Intentionality of that. You remember so you never forget. Let's sing it some more.
Always, you know,
the name of Jesus.
time. Lift it up, everybody.
Always remember
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Jesus. Always keep him on your
So it's okay in our homes to practice communion as a way of remembering, so we'll never forget. A couple more things just to throw at you. Make sure that your kids and grand know that you read the Bible and you pray regularly. Do it out loud before them and with them. Memorize scriptures. Teach them how to pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer together around your family table. Sing the doxology at home or after meals, during the meal, whatever the case may be. Do it. Oh, thirdly, make sure you're attending worship together. It's a family deal. It's a consistent priority. And if it's not all that where you're going, then determined by God's grace, you're going to make it better and help it to be better than it is. Demonstrate it by being attentive to. And by the way, I have my dad's prayer chair in my office. If you've seen it, you go in straight ahead to the left. You can see it. The prayer chair that I woke up to most every morning of my life with my dad's, his Bible open with in prayer, praying for me and for others, but praying and reading. And I knew it was a real deal. Be attentive and take advantage of opportunities that provide teachable moments. Have God talked often. For example, you have to invest quantity of time for those quality moments. You can't manufacture quality. 5, share good and bad and the ugly. Example, with our kids, we shared about our marriage struggles early. We didn't want them finding out from somebody else. And we got to tell the God stories of what he's done over and over. Tell them specifically how God blessed your life and include the blessing of children and grands as a precious gift. Tell those stories over and over and over again. I won't read it, but Deuteronomy 6:20-23 again says, hey, you talk about it. When they ask, you be ready to tell them. You must tell them how God brought you out. Are you telling those stories? Never underestimate the power of a story at the family table. Kids still love and remember stories vividly. It's a primary teaching tool. They impact and influence lives. Use it. They need to know those stories by heart, those family stories, best repeated over and over and over again. Boy, I tell you again, one of the best tips I can give you is families, whatever form your family's in now, fight for the family table. Fight for the family table. Fight for the family table. Surround that family table. Pray together. Eat together. Talk together. It's amazing things will happen. That's one of the most spiritual things we can do. Get back to the family table. I realize now how my mother fought for that. I didn't realize how hard it was. Just a tip. Well, I got to close it down. We want to sing this wonderful song. When we're dealing with matters of spiritual influence, we must remember to intentionally share our faith with those we love, beginning at home. I never doubted for a second that my mom and dad loved Jesus and were sold out to him. The most important thing you and I can do is use our free will, engage our free will to live it, to say yes to Jesus at the cross. We make him our Savior by giving him our sin. We make him our Lord by surrendering all that we are and living, not just saying, but living, palms up, palms up. And we'll keep getting better and growing until we draw our first breath in heaven. So thankful for the faithfulness that was lived out before me in our home. Remember things that are most important. We've explained it as best we could from God's word. Oh, yeah. Embrace it, but then engage it by living the life. As my father-in-law that I love dearly would always say, go with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Always remember Jesus. Always keep him on your mind and in your heart so that you'll never forget. And this will be a blessing to you and yours and the generations. And everybody said, at home. Amen.